A few very interesting Rashis in Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma lists a whole laundry list of materials. Tchelis, argaman, dyes, wools, linens, skins, oil, besamim, spices, stones. And it concludes the initial list, V'asili mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. These are necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, obviously, what's missing? Animals. Animals are also necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. Flour is necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. Wine is necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. And yet these don't make an appearance in Parshas Truma. So Rashi answers that question, implicitly states that he doesn't like the question. But Rashi, at the very beginning, in Pasuk Tichulis Trumasi, writes as follows, Yud Gimel Devarim, Hamurim Ve'inyan, Kulam Hutzruchu L'malachas HaMishkan, O Labig De'kuna, Kishetikdak De'kibohem. This is a list of materials necessary for construction and preparation of the Mishkan, namely for the edifice or for the clothing and the uniforms, but not necessarily for the daily sacrifices and rituals and ceremonies. So that's why animals, wine, and flour don't appear, but linens, dyes, skins, ultimately wood, metals, are all present. Now this, of course, begs an interesting question, because it seems to be there are two interlopers. There are two materials that are part of korbanos, but are necessary for the actual Beis HaMikdash structure, edifice, or uniforms of the Kohen. One is the shemen, the oil, shemen hamor, and one is the kitaras hasamim. The shemen was used, the shemen hamishcha, the special ointment of shemen that was used to anoint the various vessels in kelim, that's clearly construction necessary, so it belongs in truma. But the oil to light the menorah, and the ktaras to sacrifice on the mizbeach, those seem to be part of the ritual, sacrifices and ceremonies, not part of the edifice and structure of the Mishkan. So the answer can be found, ironically, in a different context. It's really not an answer, but it just puts it into perspective, and the answer is something which is suggested by many different commentators. Another interesting Rashi. Typically, Shabbos is twinned with Mishkan. The first Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Hach Dehava B'Mishkan Chashiva, whatever was an important creative act in the Mishkan, is also on Shabbos. Shabbos is an attempt to halt human creativity in order to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of our world. Had Hashem not desisted from work on the seventh day, there would be no room for human creativity. Hashem is infinite. He'd be creating infinitely, and our world would be morphing constantly in a state of flux. Creativity requires predictability and stability and manipulation of a static nature, or at least a predictable nature. So Hashem rested and passed the baton to us. And the ultimate form of human creativity was the ability of human beings, craftsmen, artisans, engineers, architects, to build the house of Hashem. So whatever activities were performed to build the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to prepare the materials to build the house of Hashem, are forbidden on Shabbos, hence the 39 activities, the 39 melachos. But activities which were performed on a daily basis in the Mishkan as part of the Korbanos, they are not paradigms for activities which are forbidden on Shabbos. Only a melachos. This is according to most Rishonim. Some Gaonim argue, but most Rishonim believe that it's only activities necessary to build the Mishkan. So the Gemara in Shabbos on Tzedek Beis talks about carrying. If you carry with your right hand or your left hand, you violate the Isur of Hotzah. What about if you carry on your body, on your shoulders, or wrapped around your midsection? Are you chayiv? Let's say you wrap something or attach it. Is that the normal way to carry? So the Mishnah says, indeed, you are. Hamotzi bein bimino, bein bismolo, your right hand, your left hand, betel cheko, carrying it in your almost like your pocket, or al katefav, or on your shoulders, chayiv. Shekein masa b'nei kahas, because the people of kahas, the levim of kahas, would carry using all of these body parts. And they were presumably, if the position holds that we can only derive Melacha Shabbos from activities necessary to build the Beis HaMikdash, they had to be carrying items and objects necessary for construction. So Rashi quotes one of his Rebbeim, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, who quotes Rav Haigon, who quotes Yishalmi, what were the children of Kahas carrying in their right hand, in their left hand, in their on their body, and on their shoulders? So according to this version, it wasn't just Kahas, it was Elazar himself was carrying oil in his right hand. He was carrying oil, another one oil, let's say the oil to light the menorah is in his right hand, the other oil to smear the kelim is in his left hand. Kitaras becheko, he was carrying the kitaras in his pocket or wrapped around his midsection. The chavitin, and the special flour necessary for the daily carbon of the Kohen Gadol, was on his shoulder. So once again, you see that carrying oil and besamim is a paradigm from Halach HaShabbos. It teaches us that carrying with your right hand, left hand, shoulders, and midsection are considered chutzah. And evidently implied within this, since Halach HaShabbos can only be derived from activities necessary to build the Mishkan, that oil and kitaros are not just rituals, they're part of the Mishkan. And this is what Rashi is alluding to in Truma. This is why Shemen and kitaros appear in the beginning of Truma. There are rituals in the Beis HaMikdash. Animals are sacrificed, wine is poured, flour is offered with oil. But lighting the menorah is not a ritual. It's part of the inherent edifice of the Mishkan. Without a menorah, without a lit menorah, the Mishkan is not a Mishkan. Part of the Mishkan's identity is to be a house for Hashem, not just a site for rituals. As a house for Hashem, it has to have furniture. This is basically the Ramban, Parshas Truma. And the furniture of the Mishkan is a candelabra lit. So lighting the candelabra is essentially completing the ambience, the environment, the aura of the Mishkan. Sacrificing an animal is a ritual. Lighting the menorah is construction. And the same thing with the ketores, which provides an aromatic environment. Of course, you have to discuss the other two issues described in Rashi and Shabbos, Daf Tzedek Beis. But that's essentially the relationship between Rashi in Truma and Rashi in Shabbos, Tzedek Beis and Bet Aleph, that the shemen of the menorah and the ketores were not like an animal or like wine, which was offered as part of a karban, but they're inherent to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone wants to think about this a little bit more, there's a very interesting Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Chavav and Beis, whether there's a din of Tamid for the Shulchan and the Menorah, or only for the Shulchan. Presumably, if the Menorah is part of the Mishkan, then it always has to be there, and if the Menorah would be missing from the Mishkan would be deficient, and you could not process other sacrifices, just like some of the wood of the walls had fallen in. And then there's a very fascinating mystical Rashi, because one of the types of skin is called Oros Tichoshim. What is Oros Tichoshim? So Rashi cites the Gemara in Shabbos on Chaf Ches, and he tells us, first of all, that a tachash is an animal, not a domesticated animal, but a wild animal, a chaya. And it was only an animal that appeared once in history, and it was multicolored, multi-hued. Harbe givanim hayula, lekach mitargim sas gavna, or sas gona. Many different shades, or many different stripes, or hues, or colors at once. Now this Rashi contains many assumptions that are hotly debated by Chazal. It doesn't appear that Chazal had a clear sense of this animal. Certainly, they didn't attach it to any one species. We have no clue what a tachash was, if it indeed was an animal. So, for example, Rashi's assuming that it was an animal. It doesn't necessarily stem from the Medrash and the Yishalmi. The Yishalmi in Shabbos brings a shita that it is tainin. This is Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that it's a color. Others felt that it was a skin, not just a color, but a skin. So, and that could be the literal translation of Unkelus, because Unkelus writes the word sasgona. Sasgona just means multiple colors, according to one position in Medrash Tanchuma and Truma, shisha givanim, six colors, sasgona, sheshgona. Gavan, modern Hebrew, means a color, or a hue, or a tone. So Rashi's right away assuming that it happens to be an animal. But again, this is the assumption of the Gemara, at least in Shabbos, that it was an animal. It's not clear whether it was a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal. Now, what's also interesting in Rashi, assuming it was an animal, what type of animal was it? So first of all, Rashi assumes it was a supernatural animal that disappeared immediately after the Mishkan was constructed, this animal that appeared once in history. The interesting part of that Rashi is there's a pasuk in Yechezkel, in Perek Tezayin, which describes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes his plans for the Jewish people to treat them like nobility, like the monarchy. Va'al bishech rikma, I will put fine linens on them. Ve'en aleich tachash, and I will wrap their feet with tachash. Ve'ech bishech bashesh, marble, v'achaseich meshi, fine linen. So it seems as if, at the very least, Yechezkel is aware of tachash. Does that mean that there was actually an animal called tachash living in the days of Yechezkel? Or maybe there wasn't. Maybe Hashem was just prophesying, was delivering the prophecy to Yechezkel about Akos HaYamim and the reappearance of this tachash. Or, even if there's no prophecy about his reemergence, at least Yechezkel and the people listening should know to reference the Aros Techoshim back in Parshas Truma. Now, what's fascinating about this tachash, and keep in mind, Rashi doesn't say this. Rashi says it was an animal. Rashi says it was a supernatural animal that was only there once in history. It had multiple colors to it, sas gona. But the Medrash in Koheles quotes Rabbi Yochanan that it's a chaya gedola that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supernaturally delivered to Moshe. And, let me see if I can find it, Rabbi Hoshaya says, Karen Achas, Hoyselo B'mitzcho. Actually, should have mentioned it. It's also in the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, it's quoted by Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Meir. It's a Beri B'fnei Atzmo, and it had one single horn on its forehead. Namely, it was the long-discussed, hotly debated unicorn, supernatural unicorn with multicolored skin. We typically imagine a white unicorn, but a multicolored skin, a supernatural animal whose skin was very large according to one day in Chazal. That's why it was necessary for the Mishkan. It's a Medrash Tanchuma. And it came and it disappeared solely for the purpose of constructing the Mishkan. The next time you talk about a unicorn, in fact, a unicorn is a phrase people use today in the world of technology, but the time you talk about the animal unicorn, remember that according to one day on the Gemara in Shabbos, Chavches, Yishalmi, Medrash and Koheles, excuse me, Paragalef, Medrash Aleph, the Tchashim was not just an animal, not just a supernatural animal with very large and elastic skin, multicolored, but with a single horn on its forehead. Shabbat Shalom.